Hi, everybody. Outside of the holidays, the biggest sports days in Detroit are the NFL draft in April for the Detroit Lions and the Major League Baseball trade deadline for the Tigers. The latter has arrived. Did the Tigers do enough? Greg Monroe tells us his thoughts on catching up with Simo and Shep next. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on Catching Up with Simo and Shep. This was a busy, busy trade deadline day. First day, there were 16 trades already. The Tigers were involved. We're going to go through them and see what Simo has to say about it, because I don't think Tiger Nation is really thrilled with what has taken place. So you, what did you think they needed going into the trade deadline, first and foremost?
Well, for me, I wanted to take some pressure off of Riley Green in the middle of that lineup, Spencer Torkes. I wanted a big bat. I wanted a right-handed bat. Preferably a guy that could play third base as well. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy that I would mention that I really wanted, and it was Suarez from the Arizona Diamondback, who we just saw. Mm-hmm. We weren't able to get him. He was shipped off to Seattle. And then I thought the bullpen had been the biggest issue for this team, or let's not call it an issue. Let's just call it that was probably the weakest part, I believe, of this team.
Well, I think we talk in generalities a lot of times in baseball. I want a right-handed bat. I want a bullpen guy. I want a starting pitcher. I try to get a little bit more specific. I'm with you with Eugenio Suarez, a guy you would have had just as a rental, but according to reports, Seattle dished away an 8th, a 16th, and a 17th prospect. I don't think that was all that deep to get a guy like this. I thought you would have had to give up more. I thought that was doable, because of exactly what you said, the power as anything else. 36 homers and OPS of 898 would have fit in beautifully in the middle of that lineup for this team to make it a threat. But when we talk about bullpen, I wanted back-end bullpen swing and miss guys. And for starting pitchers, I wanted a top-end rotation guy, not a back-end rotation guy.
Well, with Chris Paddock, because the Tigers did acquire him from the Twins, he is a back end of the rotation kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I actually got a chance to go to the game yesterday, on Wednesday, and I watched him pitch 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run.
No walks.
No
five,
walks.
Five punch
I mean, he looked good.
Yeah.
Now, with Robin Lund being one of the pitching coaches, we call him the scientist, basically, of pitching.
Yeah.
We've got Chris Fetter, who puts together some amazing game plans. They also tweak guys with their pitch selections and pitch usage. Maybe the Tigers saw this as an opportunity, too, to take a guy like Chris Paddock, that's 6'5", who can create a good downward angle, good downward plane, which makes it difficult to barrel him up. I thought he looked pretty damn good in his 6 innings.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge a guy on one outing, good or bad. It's not the guy I necessarily wanted. I wanted Merrill Kelly, quite honestly.
That's top of the rotation kind of stuff, though.
But he would have fit in beautifully right behind Tarek Skubal. And you and I know this.
Yeah.
You go into the playoffs, you don't need 4 or 5 starters. You got 3 solid starters.
Solid.
I think you'd have been in fine shape. I just wonder who those 3 starters will be for Detroit. I suppose we can worry about that later on, though.
Well, we're going to have to. I mean, the unfortunate part for me was that Flaherty hasn't been Flaherty of old.
Right.
I mean, Tarek Skubal has set the standard. I mean, he's in another world. He's been in another world. He's by himself in a whole nother category because he's that dominant. But when you start looking at guys like Flaherty, who we thought coming in, signing that big deal, I really thought, okay, he got something that last year when we traded him to the Dodgers, and thank God we got him back. But he hasn't been the same Flaherty. Mm-hmm. He's kind of been up and down. Now, do I think there's more that he's, you know, the best of him is yet to come? I do, and I hope it starts soon, Shep. And that's just me. I'm optimistic like that because I've been through that grind of 162 quite often. He's been through this grind as well, 35 starts pretty much a season if you stay healthy. I think he can figure it out. He can start to tweak just a little bit. It's missing a little bit too much over the middle of the plate when he gets himself into trouble. Mm-hmm. He misses a little bit over the plate. I think he can fix that because when I saw him at his best, he was working the edges. He was flipping that slider. I mean, and it had some bite to it. Not quite the same this year, but he figures it out.
It would change my mind for sure if he became that Jack Flaherty of old.
I hope so.
It is interesting that nobody says anything about making $25 million for Jack Flaherty, but if Javier Baez struggles and it's $25 million, they want him out of town. I digress. Casey Mize has struggled his last three starts, okay?
Yeah.
Keter Montero, you probably don't trust in a playoff series, and maybe that's why Chris Paddock was acquired, because of a lot of different things, but that being part of it. So we can worry about that a little bit later on. That trade with Randy Dobnak, for me, Dobnak's an absolute non-factor, okay? An ERA of over 7. He spent all but one game in AAA. I don't think that really matters.
Well, that's definitely not going to move the needle for me.
No.
They didn't do a lot in this trade deadline. When I look at all the other teams, you know, the Mets, the Yankees, the San Diego Padres,
the Mariners,
they moved the needle.
Yeah.
They addressed issues or problems that they thought they had, or even if they didn't know they had them, they added those pieces to make their team better, to give their team a legitimate chance. As a player, that's all you want, especially when you've got a good core of guys. You want them just to add some pieces to get you even more excited about the season, for the rest of the season, that you possibly can be. I think it brings out the best in you when you add some pieces that you're like, you look back, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no, these boys here came to play. We got a real-life chance to go to the World Series and not only get there, but win it.
Yeah, I want your attitude about that as a player's perspective, and when you're hoping for a little bit more, not to use a Dylan Larkin comment from when the Red Wings were underwhelming at the trade deadline, but I do want your opinion on that. We'll get to that here in a minute on Catching Up with Simo and Shep. And please follow us on all our social media channels. The other, Rafael Montero, is a guy who is experienced. He's won a championship ring in Houston, not with A.J. Hinch, but with Houston. He's a guy who's been around. He's got good postseason numbers, but his regular season numbers, especially this year, not good. What does he provide?
Well, he does have swing and miss stuff at the back end of the bullpen. He provides experience. I want a guy that's been in the trenches, who's been in those tough situations in playoff baseball. Mm-hmm. He's won a championship, so he knows how to slow the game down. That's important, because you put a rookie in there at times, and the game can speed up on you. So for me, Montero is going to be a guy that it's kind of a gamble, because if you think about the Tigers' philosophy from a pitching standpoint, Shep, it's about commanding the strike zone. Well, he has a tough time doing that. His walk rate is a little higher than the Tigers probably wanted. But there are some upsides. There's some upsides, and here's the upside for me. By adding this splitty this year, he's gotten more swings and misses on that pitch. That particular pitch, I think he's around like 35% rate of swing miss. That's pretty high for one pitch. He's also got a good fastball. His fastball sits mid-90s. He can move it around the strike zone. So I think he's going to be one of those guys at the back end. I'm not going to call him closer stuff, but I'm going to say he's a guy that you can rely on that 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning. He's one of those guys that can get some tough outs.
May not move the needle all the way, but here's what it does. You didn't give up much, okay? You gave up Jim Jarvis. He was not necessarily one of those guys that you felt you've got to have. I can't wait to watch him. He's going to be a fast riser, anything like that. So really no harm there. Paul Sewald comes over from Cleveland, immediately goes on the 60-day IL, not available for this team until September 10th. What the hell were they thinking with that move?
This one's kind of got me scratching my head a little bit. I'm kind of scratching my head saying, okay, well, what we need this guy?
Yeah.
We have to go back some years, a couple years, though, when he was with the Seattle Mariners closing games. He was one of the American League's best. Mm-hmm. So you have to rely on that, on his background, what he's accomplished throughout his career. Being on the IL, you're going to think that this guy comes back and he's healthy as ever. Now getting in with the Tigers organization, they're strengthening coaches. They believe in those guys. They believe in their medical staff, and they believe in their pitching coaches. So I think from a player standpoint, I go, you know what? He's a veteran. He's been there before. He's been in those tight situations, those 9th inning games where it's one mistake costs you a ball game. He knows how to bury the DNA, so to speak, and kind of stay calm under that kind of pressure. And it's a veteran guy. It's somebody that's, again, experience matters when you start talking about playoff ship. So I don't like the idea that we won't see him until September 10th. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we would have I think Tiger fans would have liked to see a little bit more. Yeah. Okay, what can we expect? Can we see him for, I don't know, 10 outings?
What's your number?
What's your number? Right. But and we're not going to know that. But I don't mind that move at all. He does have a funky little delivery where he's going to be able to miss some bats. He's going to create some weak contact. But, man, September the 10th seems like a long time from now to see what we got.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because that's important, right?
Yeah.
A.J. Hinch always talks about, and Scott Harris does too, about the different arm angles, the different looks their bullpen can give you.
Yeah.
How vital do you think that is for them moving forward?
Oh, it's so huge because it's so difficult as a hitter to go from looking up around a guy's ear when they're letting it go, and then all of a sudden you get a guy that drops down who has a nasty slider to go along with that that I call it like an unorthodox delivery because when you're down there, your arm's not supposed to throw 90, 94 from down there. He's not quite 94, 95 with it. But 91, 92 with a little sinker slider, so he's cutting the strike zone pretty well. I think he's going to be valuable. I think he can be a piece. I just hate that I have to wait so long to see what I got.
Just 15 innings so far this season and an ERA close to 5 for Paul Sewald. So, again, won't see him until September 10th on the 60-day IL. The next move they make is Kyle Finnegan from Washington. I like this move.
I do too.
There's a few quote-unquote closers. I know we know A.J. Hinch doesn't like that verbiage, but that's okay. A guy at the back end of your bullpen, David Bednar, would have really liked him, went to the Yankees. Would have liked Pete Fairbanks, for example. Of course, you would have liked Johan Duran, but you weren't going to spend what the Phillies spent to get him. This isn't a bad option in Kyle Finnegan. Not that he's going to be their closer, but he gives you a valuable arm who has done that before, number one, and has some swing and miss stuff.
Well, he's doing it this year with the Nationals. Yeah. He was doing it. He was getting 20 saves.
Yeah.
For me, for some reason, I love a guy that has that flaming fastball. He's got it, gets up to 100. Listen, that can be an uncomfortable at bat when guys are throwing it, can also move your feet, not afraid to make you uncomfortable. To go along with that, though, he's got some good secondary pitches, got a really good slider, good curveball. I think this will be the guy that closes games. Now, he's even though he throws 100, he's not your typical, like, oh, he throws 100, he's going to blow it by you. Because at the big leagues, you don't blow it by guys. And he don't have legitimate swing and miss stuff. Like, he's not a strikeout pitcher. But what he does do is he creates weak contact. I think in this day and age right now, that is not a bad weapon to have in your back end of your bullpen where a guy, he gives up some contact. But it ain't hard contact.
Doesn't walk guys.
And he doesn't walk guys. He's not afraid of the strike zone.
Right.
He's going to attack him. So I think he'll end up being the closer, even though A.J. Hinch says he doesn't, proclaim a closer.
Yeah.
I think he'll be in the back end.
Does give him some options. If it's Tommy Canley, I know some people are screaming right now. If it's Will Vest, if it's Finnegan, sometimes it's Montero. He's got some options. He's not married to necessarily one guy. A unique move, I thought, was the acquisition of Cody Hoyer, who immediately was sent to Toledo in AAA. Again, another bullpen arm, so they're loading up on this. This has got to be just a precautionary move just in case.
That's what I believe. Again, when I think about Scott Harris and this Tigers organization, with A.J. Hinch, seem to be very smart, or maybe even thinking a little bit maybe smarter than all the rest of the league.
Yeah.
And so this might be one of those moves where they're going to outsmart the rest of the league. And then he's going to be a guy that comes up and hopefully dominates down in Toledo. And he gets that call and he's able to fit right into one of those back ends of the bullpen roles. And hopefully we see the best out of him. And maybe they prove us all wrong because at first we're all thinking, I don't know. I mean, why would you trade for a guy and send him to Toledo? Because when you trade deadline, it's supposed to be players to impact and help you win now, right?
Yeah.
And so to send that guy to Toledo is a little strange. But listen, they do things a lot different here in Detroit. Now that we have Scott Harris as the president. So maybe this is one of those smart moves he's going to make.
All right. So for you as a player, you're hoping for some reinforcement. You don't want any one of your friends to lose their job or be shipped out for obvious reasons because they've helped you build one of the best league records in all of baseball. But if you're a Tiger player, not a fan, you're a Tiger player, how do you feel right now about these?
So about right now, if I'm one of the Tiger players, I feel good. And here's why. They addressed the issue. The bullpen has not been consistent this season. And I said it earlier, they probably have been one of the weakest link to this team.
Yeah. Strength last year.
Strength, weakness definitely this year. Is weakness for sure. I as a player, I would go, I mean, they didn't blow me away, but man, I got three bullpen arms that have had success in the late innings. I take my chances with those guys. I would.
It's not what they've done this year, like Montero with a high ERA of 5. Seawald, you're not going to see. Finnegan, maybe a little bit off the fastball than he used to have. So I get it, and I appreciate the perspective. I don't think Tigers fans would feel the same way at all, even though they have addressed a need.
Oh, I agree. Now, listen, they're, Tiger fans are throwing the remotes at the TV right now. Saying, what are we doing?
Yeah,
we need impactful players, guys that have real track records that are helping us win today. But if you look, if you pull the shades down a little bit and you look under, it's like, you know, if you look under, you're like, okay, no, these guys have had success, man. They've had success, and the Tigers are hoping that they addressed enough of their weakest point of their team to where now it becomes at least average to above average.
What if you're a Tigers fan, the word I use is underwhelming.
That's a good
word.
Sure,
they addressed some things, but I think it was an underwhelming trade deadline moves by Scott Harris. Not that I was in agreement to trade anybody and everybody for big names. No. His stance was, I'm not going to lose any of my top 5 prospects because those are top 100 prospects in baseball. I wouldn't have done it either.
Neither.
I don't blame him one bit.
No.
But there were moves, I would have guessed, that could have been made based on what other teams acquired or had to give up to acquire some of those bigger names that it would, you would seem Detroit could have done because they have a deeper roster.
And that's what would bother me as a fan, is that when you look at what all the other teams did, the big, they make splashes.
Yeah.
They got elite players to make a difference, to change the culture in their clubhouse. And we didn't do that. Now, that brings on the question of this for me. Do the Tigers think that they have enough right now?
Right.
Clearly, they think they have enough right now to win it all. And
do you think they do?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I do love this squad. I've watched them, been around them for a long time. I like how they pull for each other. There's a lot of intangibles. There's a lot of things to like about this particular club, this club. But seeing what the other teams did, I don't think so.
How much do you think they are banking on the fact that Kerry Carpenter's back and hopefully healthy? Alex Cobb is due back sometime soon. Maybe an Alex Lang comes back, rejuvenates that bullpen too. I mean, that's a lot of names with the acquisitions. Somebody's going to have to go.
Somebody's
but you understand
out.
Where I'm going with this.
Yes, I do.
They're trying to feel like, look, the guys that we have, if they were healthy, and now that they are healthy, they're going to be a shot in the arm that we needed.
Well, and that could be the case, but that's a whole lot of hoping.
Yeah, it sure
and
is.
And I don't really live off hope.
Yeah.
You know, hoping and wishing. No, I need guys that are proven. There are guys that are doing it. And right now they've got some guys in the back end. Kangley's doing it. He's been well. Will Vest is pretty, I mean, he's pitched well. I just from a fan and a player standpoint, I just feel like with this organization having one of the top farm systems in all of baseball, watching the other team put their, you know, trade their younger prospect guys who, again, may not ever make it to the major leagues. Their ninth prospect, their 12th, their 16th. Man, we have so many guys in this minor league system that could have gotten those big pieces, the Bettners of the world, to where you really feel good as a fan and a player.
Yeah, when you look at it, folks, and you see how good the Tigers were in the first half, and they were excellent. First team to 40, first team to 50, first team to 60 wins. But the second half is a completely different season because other teams know what they need. They also know what they need to catch you.
Yes.
And the other teams, Houston, Carlos Correa goes back there,
for
example.
He goes back to Houston. How about that homecoming?
Seattle, Josh Naylor, Eugenio Suarez. They're getting healthy with their pitching arms, right? The Yankees, the Blue Jays, they have all made moves to counter some of the moves Detroit has made to try and tell everybody we're in it this year to win too.
Well, let's just look at the American League Central. The trades that went on, they have thrown in the towel.
Minnesota and Cleveland,
they're done. Yeah, the right. White Sox, we know who they are and what they've been.
Yeah.
And they haven't been that good. So the Central's thrown in the towel.
Yeah.
The focus shouldn't be on winning them. Obviously, you're going to win the Central.
Yeah.
it's got to be about the other American League teams, like the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the guys that made real moves.
It's got to be about getting home field.
And getting home. And I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Do you want to face, if you're the weakest of the three division leaders, do you want to face Seattle in round one? Do you want to face the Yankees in round one or Toronto in round one?
Well, as a player, I'm going to tell you, bring them on.
Yeah.
Right. I'll take on any of them. I mean, right. Go back. But they're
tougher matchups.
They're going to be tougher matchups. We'll go back to 06.
Yeah.
Nobody expected us to beat the Yankees.
Yeah.
And we did.
Last year, no one expected Detroit to beat Houston.
No. So from a player standpoint, I'm like, bring on any of them. I don't give a shit who they are.
Right.
But from a broadcast standpoint, from a fan standpoint, I'm thinking, man, on paper, I mean, they did a lot more to move their needle in than we did. And those are facts.
It makes the trail toward the championship a little rockier, little rougher without question. I think also lost perhaps in all the acquisitions and the hype and the discussion of what those players bring is the fact that Detroit designated for assignment, for all intents and purposes, cut a former first-round pick. Matt Manning was 9th overall, very talented guy, very athletic guy, well-liked, but did not pitch well at all this year in Toledo, and now he's no longer part of the organization, at least for the time being.
Well, it goes back to years now that there's been a lot of noise about how the Tigers have failed in their drafting.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that under Scott Harris because he's just got here, but a couple years in now. But that has been the knock on the Tigers for years now, that first round draft pick, they just seem to miss. And that sets your organization back. Thank God they've come around and they've got a guy like Scott Harris and AJ Hinch now, who these guys have now got the form system back to where it needs to be. But you hate that for Matt Manning, again, because you thought and you wish for him to live up to the hype, to live up to that first-round status. But he just couldn't seem to figure it out here.
Does that affect anybody at the – I mean, Casey Mize's a good friend of his, obviously. Tarek Skubal's a good friend of his. Does that affect any of those guys in any way, do you think?
It does. It affects them personally,
okay,
because of the relationship that he has. Because this is something that they've talked about. This is something they dreamed of, was making the World Series together for this Tigers organization. So, yeah, anytime that you lose a brother, it does. It affects you. It really hurts your heart because you know how much time and how much hard work we've put into getting the most out of yourself. And then sometimes, it just doesn't work out. And in Matt Manning's case right now, it just hasn't worked out. But how about a change of scenery? Sometimes a change of scenery rejuvenates a player, or a position player, or a pitcher, and somebody says the same thing that probably the Tigers have been saying to him this whole time, but it clicks when this guy said it or how he said it. I'm hoping that for Matt Manning because I'm a big fan.
Which team do you think made the biggest improvement from an American League standpoint that maybe Detroit is now looking over their shoulder a little bit?
I've really been a big fan of the Toronto Blue Jays. Getting a guy like Bieber from Cleveland, even though I know he's coming off Tommy John. Hell, if you go back and look at the Tommy John surgeries, they come back stronger, throwing harder.
Knows how to pitch.
So that's one of the teams that I'm like, okay, they got a bona fide number one. Even coming off Tommy John, I still think he's got ace stuff.
With already good pitching, with a good starting staff already.
Yeah, with a good staff. Yeah. Now, you got to give the Yankees some credit, too, for what they did.
Yeah.
They made some moves, and I mean, they addressed a lot of their situation.
Ryan McMahon to start
at third base. Yep. And I said this in our last episode that Ryan McMahon, he's one of those guys, like, you just need to change the scenery. He didn't want to go to the ballpark every day knowing that, well, flip a coin. What's going to happen today for us to lose? I mean, the Colorado Rockies are just not good at all. They just haven't been good all season. Yeah. It'd be tough going to the ballpark every day.
Tough to stay positive.
It's hard as hell to stay
positive. It's not just Ryan McMahon, obviously. David Bednar is another big name, and I think he's got really good
stuff. He's got great
stuff. And he's under control for another 2 years. That is worth the investment if they're the New York
Yankees. So I'm going to go Toronto. I'll go to Toronto Blue Jays, and I'm going to go with the New York Yankees.
Okay.
Those are the two teams. They're going to be the teams to beat in the American League. I know Seattle did some big moves.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I just not sold on Seattle right now. Wow. I really like the Yankees in Toronto.
That's interesting because Seattle is so good pitching-wise. I like their defense up the middle as well. I thought the Phillies did a really good job. I mean, Dave Dombrowski is never afraid to pull the trigger. He gets Duran, age 27, isn't a free agent until 2027. He's got lights out stuff at the back end of the bullpen. He's the one closer that I think most people would have said, who's the one guy you want closing games for you outside of Emmanuel Class A and the problems he had gambling-wise? It was Johan Duran.
No, there's no question about that. Not that I'm going to up you, but I'm going to throw another team at you that's going to challenge your Phillies in a sense. What the New York Mets did.
Okay.
Think about what they did, too.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Helsley is really good.
Helsley? Okay?
They made that move right after the Phillies went out and got Duran.
But they also got, I believe they got Tyler.
Rogers,
who's, again, that arm slot changing the look of their bullpen. They got Cedric Mullins in center field.
That's right.
I know he's an older. He's gotten older.
He's a pro, though.
But he can go get it in the center field, and he can swing it.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
He can swing it. And they also went and got one of our old Tigers. They got Soto, Gregory Soto.
Yeah, earlier. Yeah.
Early on, too. So they've kind of – what the moves that they made reminds me of what Kansas City had.
Okay.
Right? Back in the day where they had the three-headed monsters.
That's right.
Holland was the back end. Greg Holland was those guys in the back end.
Yes.
I feel like now if
the – Wade Davis is one of them, and Herrera.
Now, if Soto and those boys and Tyler Rogers, if they can become – I mean, be – who they've been for their other teams.
Yeah.
The game might be over in the sixth inning because they got Edwin Diaz that's in the back.
Yeah, here's what I noticed about what a lot of these teams done. You know, it's not just, hey, we're going to move the chips to the middle of the table. What I've noticed is they built up their depth and they built up their versatility.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people credit the Tigers for being versatile. Can the versatility be almost a little bit of a negative for a team that you rely so much on that versatility instead of the everyday guy?
No, it was for me. That was my thought process for a long time when we talk about I need everyday players.
Yeah.
But to watch AJ Manu makes these moves and meander his way through a game, it's kind of changed my thought process a little bit because he's proven that you don't have to have everyday players at every position. You can make moves. You can do matchups. Now, I'm still not completely sold, Shep, because I do believe if you have your everyday guys, where I have my seventh inning guy, I have an eighth inning guy, and I have my closer, the consistency for the player, it allows him to be freer to know when you're getting in, when is your time to go perform. I think that's important. I don't know if guys really like being on the edge, like not sure when they're going to get their opportunity.
Okay.
I like mine set in stone. Chimo, you're playing left field every single day.
Like clockwork.
Okay, I can relax. I can go have my routine. I can do everything that I do to prepare for an at-bat or for a game. I just feel like it's hard for these guys that are playing multiple positions. That's why I give a lot of credit to Zach McKinstry.
Yeah, same.
So the guys that freaking play all over the field,
man,
hats off to you guys because I freaking couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It would drive me crazy not knowing when I'm going to start, where I'm going to play, and I have to prepare for every position. That blows my mind. So for those guys, man, I give a lot of credit to
Shepard. The guys before him, like Ben Zobrist and Whit Merrifield, what they've been able to do in their careers, pretty damn impressive.
Yes.
We are brought to you by Imagine Theaters, and every week we give you our movie question of the day. Now,
what do you got today?
We talked about a lot of different movies. We talked about actors. We talked about different types of genres. I know there's a new Superman movie out, and it's available at Imagine Theaters. Our producer and director, Sean and Andrew, have both seen it. Andrew gave it a thumbs up, but it was half a thumb. I'm not big into these types of movies, but I have seen some.
Yeah.
What is the best Marvel/DC character there is out there?
I mean, I don't know if it's the best, but it's
well, in your mind.
In my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm a big fan of Spider-Man. I don't know what it is I like.
I didn't expect that.
You did, right?
I did not expect
that. Oh, no?
No.
What were you thinking?
I just thought you were doing Batman for sure.
No. I mean, but I like Batman. No. Yeah. And then I like the Superman. I mean, I like Superman, Clark Kent, and all the whole. No, Kent Clark, I mean, but.
Clark Kent. Clark Kent.
I got it right the first time. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
No, I just.
No one's believing that you like Superman now. Now that you've blown Clark Kent.
No. I don't know. It's something about Spider-Man that just draws me in.
I would say Iron Man, not from the movie standpoint.
Well, because you know, because you think you're tough.
No. I just loved everything he could do. For some reason, I don't think he's the greatest Marvel character. If he's DC, I don't even. John can explain that stuff better than I can. But I love, you know, the costume, and I just love all the things that that costume allows him to do.
You yeah, the same with Spider-Man. He can do a lot.
He spins webs, and yeah, he goes from building to building. Yeah, I mean, right.
Yeah, and he saves people. So maybe that's
well, they all save people.
No, not like Spider-Man though. Yeah. When I was a kid, I liked the Hulk, the Green Man, or whatever. I wasn't watching Marvel, man.
I liked the Green Man. Yeah, that's what you're explaining it as.
Yeah, because I really wasn't watching Marvels. I really didn't watch a lot of Marvel movies.
Did you read the comic books?
No,
not at all.
I played sports, Jeff. That's all I cared about.
Now, who do you sound like? Huh? I sound like you. What about your kids? Do your kids love
this
stuff?
No, they play video games.
So there's no video games of
hell no. It's freaking Fortnite and Roblox or some shit. I don't know.
All the stuff is way over our head.
Way over. I go in there, I go, you can sit there for that many hours?
How many, of the Marvel movies or the DC movies, which have you enjoyed the most?
No, I'm done with you with my movie selection.
You haven't seen, you had to have seen Spider-Man.
Yeah, I have, but
Spider-Man.
Let me tell you why. Okay. Because everything that I say, you're freaking poking at me, dude. All right, well, how about this one, guys? Aquaman. Yeah, I like Aquaman.
Okay, all right. You like that movie?
I do.
Okay, no, that's great. I haven't seen it, but based on your recommendation, maybe I will.
You're not going to watch Aquaman. You're not going to like it? No.
All right, maybe next time. Next time we come back at the Imagine Theater, we'll talk about whether or not I watched it. I will say this. I haven't seen all. There must be 16, 17 Batman. Something like, as many trades as there have been over the last couple of days, there could be that many Batman, which I can't figure out why they have to keep making it. But maybe because it's making them money. I have seen two Batman movies, and they were both good.
No.
They were both with the Joker guy. Yeah. Yeah, both with the Joker.
You crack me up, dude. Yep.
Oh, wait. There's one with Bane. I've seen that one too. So I've seen three Batman movies.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I didn't get to hear your favorite baseball movie. I just want to know, because when I tell you mine, you're going to lose it, dude.
What?
Your favorite baseball movie.
Yours is
movie.
The Bad News Bears?
No. That's kind of how I've been today. But no, the Angels in the Outfield.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
It's one of my favorites, yeah. Yeah, the Angels in the Outfield.
You're telling me that you would take that over The Natural? No. You would take that over Kevin Costner and A Field of Dreams?
Listen, big old hardship, I guess. The hell? It's off the rails.
That's a tough one to let you go on.
Yeah.
But that's why we're going to leave it.
Yes,
follow
please.
Us on our socials. We appreciate your time today on Catching Up with Steve.
Don't judge me.
We're back with you next week here from Imagine Theater. Thanks, everybody, for your time. Wow. Angels.
Don't judge me.